You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
It's gone 1 o'clock and I have in the studio with me, as promised, Ronald. Welcome back to Zone Radio. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure, and I look forward to our conversation, getting the vibe high, and chatting about good stuff.
Get your levels ready. Okay, that sounds around. Roundabout good. Okay. So I've told the listeners what we're talking about today. Our topic today is unity. And actually, yesterday I gave them a wonderful quote. I hope I got it right. With unity consciousness, we can illuminate the entire planet. It was something like that. I don't think I've got it word perfect there, but you get the idea. And I shared that quote with them yesterday, and I thought it was quite beautiful because it's true. With unity, energy, we can illuminate this planet of ours. So anyway, so over to you, sir.
Well, it's amazing that, you know, we chatted a little while ago, because we always do a little bit of a prep for this wonderful
coffee meetings.
Yeah, wonderful connection. And it really wouldn't have been one that I would have chosen on a list of things right up front. But when I connect to beings outside this universe, and we're talking the ascended masters, the angelic realm, and the galactic friends and family, they say the only way we're actually going to get into the golden age, which is emerging and evolving and being birthed in front of us and with us, is unity.
Unity. And like I told you on Thursday with our meeting, it was like I was woke up for days, every day, unity, unity. That message came through to me. So, yeah, that's why I thought I'd share it with you. I just had to, because they were very persistent about the topic, unity.
And they spot on. You know, the beings that we of them, and they're around us and supporting us, many unseen, are really, it's a huge project in the universe to get planet Earth back into its old golden age, well, its new golden age from the old golden age there was. And yet, when we look at unity, it's the exact opposite of unity is embedded so deeply in our society. In our structures.
Our egos. We're all about ego.
And if you think about unity, what's the opposite? It's separation. It's disunity. It's non-union. It's non-connection with each other. Mm. Blah, 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 blah. And then you say, how did this come about? Well, it's very simple when you look at it over the last 300 years. And I made a kind of a list just to share with you. And we're not going to cover these topics. No. But when you look at the opposite of unity, we're talking separation. We're talking division, we're talking competition, we're talking judgment, we're talking boundaries, we're talking me, you, we, them.
Uh-huh.
We're talking what the separation is around countries, around education, around religion.
The sexist,
sport,
color.
Sexist, sure. Color.
The list goes on.
Comparison,
and
governments, and.
Yeah, it's an endless list.
And isn't it the irony?
We can keep adding on to that list forever.
You know, which is probably topical for us in this country, is that we've got the national government of unity.
Yeah.
Okay? It's the exact opposite. They didn't call it the national people's unity government, because government separates itself from the people anyway. So there's all these kind of things going on. And I've been studying the educational place for a long time, the economic space for, 60 years. And there's no ways that it was very well orchestrated to separate us. But the deepest, deepest fundamental that we are told now is to move into unity consciousness, to move into unity.
Yeah.
And so we as individuals have to make that step.
Yep.
And collectively it'll happen.
But start from the ground
up. But the systems are, for example, I'll give you another topical one. Nelson Mandela, Mandibu, whether you love him, hate him, or he's been an icon or not. One of his favorite quotes is, sport is the way to kind of uplift the country. Sport will bring us into unity.
Together.
You know what my answer is? Nonsense.
I also don't agree
Nonsense.
With that. And because I know a lot of listeners will, because we have sport fanatics.
Yeah, we have.
In
it's
a big
okay,
way.
But what it does, what does sport foster? Competition. Separation. You must, if you think of the Pleiadians, they don't talk about sport. They talk about play. Now, play will bring us into unity, but not sport.
And
I'll go, what about the Olympics? Well, one person wins, 100 lose. What about golf? One person wins, 100 lose.
Yeah.
What about football competitions? One team wins, the rest lose. That's not unity. You're just going to fight every time, competition. It's embedded in this education system, and it's embedded
in our psyches,
in our economic system. I'm better than you, you're better than me, blah, 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 blah. So unity, to discuss all the issues around unity, could take us for the next 20 years. Yeah. But hey, let's see what we crack in the next hour or so, or half an hour or so, and at least, you know, it's flip some thoughts around this, because we just accept that competition is normal. We accept that that Jacques is going to get an A at school and I'm going to get an E, and then, you know, it's so subtle, but it's just so personality and human being crushing to know that you're going to go through school as the fifth lowest grade to others who are grade one. What nonsense is that?
You know, something I share with our listeners here on the Lunch Zone quite often, and they know that we're all about it. Yeah. We've got to change our mindset from the separateness into unity.
Yes.
We're all very much aware of that. And what I've been speaking about now for the last year or so already is, you know, we've been taught that in nature, it's survival of the fittest.
Yeah.
But yet, if you really observe nature, that's not true. It's the groups, the animals that cooperate that survive the best. It's not about survival of the fittest and the strongest. It's cooperation. It's all about the ones that cooperate. They're the ones that survive.
Yeah.
And we're starting to get a hold. We're getting a grip on that concept. Yeah. That it's not survival of the fittest.
No.
It's working together. And that is what unity is all about, working together. We can't do things. You can do things on your own, but for what reason?
That's not
why
we're here, is it?
That's not. We're here to serve.
We'll be on another planet all on our own, and we'd be happy or not happy. But no, that's why we're here. The whole point of expanding the psyche, expanding spirituality, expanding your consciousness, and being the greatest version of the grandest vision that you have of yourself and you can be on earth and in the universe as an expression of the divine infinite all, is to come here and actually connect with everybody else and to see each other, but see each other as one. So the first thing we do is we are taught separation.
Mm.
And I just want to share with you from Krishnamurti, one of the more enlightened beings considered in the 20th century. And his seminal work, his constant work, was this just crazy notion. Not crazy, because when you think about it, it's actually right. He says, this is where it starts. So the first thing that starts is separation. And separation leads to judgment. And then judgment leads to violation. Violation leads to violence. And violence leads to war.
Which is also
now
true.
How do we tackle it? One of the other gurus around the world said, you don't tackle the problem at the level it's created. So we're going to try and tackle war and stop war and stop war and stop war and so maybe getting peace. But you haven't gone right to the root cause of disunity and separation. Cut that out. But where do you go? Interplay school. Well, I was told our son can't put a puzzle together, so he must be like pulled back a bit, you know, 10-piece puzzle. Yet a year later, he pointed to a puzzle in a shop and said, I'd like to take that one home, which was a 200-piece puzzle.
And it was no problem for him.
And he did it in an hour. Now, the point is, this educational system, based on their very naive, stupid, and idiotic thing to appraise and rate and judge and gold star you or black star you or whatever, at age 5, put him into a box. He's got intellectual problems. 20 years later, this guy can talk to you about the Pleiadians, Arcturians, the green economy. He was talking to me about the green economy at age 14 when he was told a few years earlier he couldn't do a 10-piece puzzle. He didn't want to do a 10-piece puzzle on animals. He wanted to do a puzzle on a construction project.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. And so we start there, you know, and then sport is healthy, it's competition. You know, now it's good, because if somebody's getting an A and you an E, you can strive for an A. No, actually, my favorite friend who I was at school with, Stephen Jeffries, he was the best cricketer I ever came across, the best opening bowler for South Africa, but he was held back because he couldn't do his A's, B's, and C's.
Yeah.
Yet he was a brilliant cricketer and a fantastic artist. And yet, what did that do to his psyche? I don't know, because I've lost contact with him, but that's where the damage is done.
It is.
Separation, judgment, labeling. It goes on and on and on. So our...
Yeah, we're so used to boxing and labeling. Yeah. Everything's got to fit into a box with a label on it, otherwise we don't understand it.
And we glorify the winner, don't we? Glorify the top politician. We glorify all these people who are right at the top of this pyramid we build.
Yeah, movie stars.
Movie stars.
Oh.
Separation.
Celebrities.
Separation.
Yeah, we've got a celebrity culture going at the moment, which we worship. And that is, that's something I almost lost my cool last week. I almost cussed on air, because that's something that gets me. I I start getting hot.
No, I agree with you because, I mean, I think that if you come back to source, start at source. We are all a soul expression, a divine spark from the divine infinite all, you may call it. God, you could have another meaning.
Yeah, whatever your name is.
Divine infinite all. Yeah. And if we start from that, you know, and so a wonderful guy said once, think about the concept of universe. Uni, one, verse, song. One song. We are all from one song. Now, if you walk into the street and see everybody, not better than you, not less than you, equal to you, connect with them on that level.
Yeah,
that's how we start unity consciousness.
Yeah, but we'd be so conditioned to judge. I had a nice little thing last week, which you've seen that I shared with my listeners, and it's been around for ages. When we walk outside in nature, and we look at trees, we all love looking at nature, and we love trees. We don't judge the tree, no matter if it's bent or straight or the wind for wire or whatever.
Exactly.
We accept it for what it is. But then we walk back into company, and the first person we see, we judge without even thinking about it. We start judging. We've got to start seeing people like we see trees. You know, they're perfect just the way they are, no matter what shape or size or color, or whatever. You know, yeah.
And so I was asked about education a little while ago because I'm really big on that because that's where it starts, the dumbing down process, doesn't it? From age, you know, actually, right at, you get very concerned. When you're in a playgroup with 3 or 4 year olds, we've been through the process with our son and our daughter. And at age two, is your son looking at the encyclopedia yet? And is he doing algebra? And I'm thinking, he's age two, you know, and my son's doing that.
Yeah.
It starts there. So for me, we must throw education, sorry, educators, sorry, teachers, blah, blah, blah.
They try hard, but that's also conditioning, doing their best.
We have to start again.
Yeah.
And then they say, but how? I say, because they need to go from, do you understand that we are now in the era of, let me start again. We are at the end of the era of information. At that point, people like start throwing tomatoes at me because you've got to be in the middle of it. Anyway, we're at the end. We can't convey information to each other any faster and in any great quantity than we're doing it now. You can't transfer information before it comes to you. Can't do it futuristically. However, if that is where we're in the era of inspiration, inspiratate, the breath from within, Now,
I like that.
Where does that go? Okay, that takes us to when the children are alive on this planet, you don't teach them anything, you don't coach them, you don't advise them, you don't boundary them, you don't bully them, you allow them to be the divine spark. And then you sit down when you think they can communicate and you say, who are you? Why are you here? And what have you come to teach us?
Yeah.
Nobody else. Us.
Mm.
And then you start to learn, and that's how we'll shift the consciousness of the
planet. I agree.
From age one or two, even.
Yeah, yeah.
And this, you know, somebody remarked, don't worry, then they'll start talking, play DNR tune. I said, then listen and find out how that language works. But we just dumb them down with the A, B's, and C's and the 1, 2, 3's right from the word go. And that is such a crude, outdated way of communication, isn't it? 26 letters?
Well, yeah.
And nine numbers?
That's all changing. But, you know, for decades I've been saying that everything I needed to know, learn from school, I learned at kindergarten.
There you go.
All the basics. You know, don't take that's not what's not yours. Wash your hands.
Yeah.
Put things back where you find them. Say thank you, please. You know, how to read and write and count and all of that. All the basics. I learned that in kindergarten.
And
after
now,
that, school lost me.
Remember, we're talking a little bit, you know, we're youngish, but we're talking a little bit aged.
Very young.
Okay. But that's changed to now put a laptop or an iPad on their laps at age 3 or 4.
Yeah.
So listen to this. The study done by the Waldorf system, done by the Harvard Business School, on the Waldorf system many, many years ago. Because the first 7 years in the Waldorf system, if it's not changed, but then no testing, no exams.
It's still very much the same,
right? And then in this country, they decided to look at education, and we're talking community and unity here, and say, what's the best system? And they said, the Waldorf system was the best of all the ones they studied in South Africa, but it's too expensive, we can't implement it. Okay, so we move on. It was a study done in California, I think, by the Harvard Business School, and over a 10-year period. And they tracked the Waldorf schools that just did a normal system. And those parents were asked to keep computers and laptops and television away from their students as much as possible. And then they tracked the group who actually had laptops from grade 2. And when they got to grade 10, they did creative testing, battery of creative tests on these two groups. And you would obviously know which one came out best.
Yeah.
The ones that weren't exposed to computers as much as the other one,
yeah.
The television, the outdoor media, and the ones who had the innate creativity coming through. Now, how can we use that innate creativity now to build a better planet through unity consciousness and not separate ourselves?
Amazing. And that's not the only studies, because there's been plenty of other studies.
Yep.
I actually mentioned one here to my listeners a couple of weeks ago where they said we're basically, I think it was 92% of four-year-olds that was tested as geniuses. They came back 5 years later when they were about 8 years old. That dropped with more than 50%. Yep. By the time they were 12, there was 4% left of all of that. The IQ levels just went down. And that is because the schooling system, unfortunately, how we conditioned, it's what we're exposed to, that that changes all of that. But when we're small, four years old, we all basically, most of us are geniuses at that age.
So based on that, I go around now talking to, I'm getting an arch back, not because I've got my cell phone in front of me, but because I'm bending down talking to kids.
Yeah.
The two-year-old, the four-year-old, tell me about the world. Tell me about what you think. Tell me about what your wisdom you've brought from 1,000 lifetimes and from another galaxy, because I need to know how we can advance this world forward, not with the dumbed-down, series of things we mentioned now about disunity consciousness, about, you know, control and about patterning and about boundaries. I mean, isn't it amazing that when I was at school, we had a walk-down single file, we all had to wear a uniform, uniformed. Oh. Oh, let's uniform everybody.
We were little robots.
Okay. And then the uniform robots fought against the other uniform robots. The guys with the green blazers fought against the orange blazers at sports day. And we were so non-unified through that. So don't tell me sport unifies people. I'm sorry. Play will, but not sport. And so it's so subtly ingrained in our education, in our governmental systems, in our controlling systems. Right across society, that we have to systematically break those down. And the only way we do that is start to operate, think and be in the opposite. I mean, here's a lovely story I want to share with you. It's an old allegorical tale about literally when you see the other person in a different light, magic happens. As opposed to the judgmental light, the labeled light.
Just to
Jacques Semel. Oh, he's this age. Oh, he's that. He's gone through that. I'm judged him before I even met him, or the next time I go and see him. Drop all of that. And there was an old allegorical tale about this sort of religious order in some hillside forest somewhere, and they were, it was quite thriving. And then the people decided, I'm not into religion. I'm leaving away. So they. The Sunday evening, afternoon meetings where they'd provide cake and tea and that. And just say this is the 1600s. And they'd come around and the less people came and they got quite disappointed because all the monks and everybody else in this particular order were saying, oh, we've got less and less people. Religion's dying, whatever. And they got despondent. They have meeting after meeting between six of the abbots and the monks. They got together. They couldn't find a solution. They said, okay, across the hill on the other side of the valley, is a Jewish order. Why don't we go talk to the rabbi there? So they sent the top guy, chatted to the rabbi, and the rabbi said, I've got the same problem. People are leaving the religion in droves, and I can't, we're going to have no business at some point here if we carry on like this. But he says, just before you go, I'm going to leave you with one thought. I've got a sort of something in my head. Go back and tell everybody that, in fact, go back. I think the only thing I can tell you is you're the chosen one. So he goes back to his order, checked the monk. Oh, what did the rabbi say? And he says, actually, we chatted for 2 hours. We had tea and whatever the Jewish serve up as stuff. And as it turns out, he just told me one thing at the end, that you're the chosen one. And they go, scratching their, that's not much of a message to help us out, is it? So as time went by, one of the old guys in the religious order goes. He looks at Jacques and says, "I wonder if Jacques's the chosen one, because he's actually he's a bit of a tough oak, but there's something inside him. He's got good heart." And they look across at Ronald. I wonder if he's the chosen one. he's always like playing around, and then he's a bit of an arsehole sometimes. But actually, maybe, and you look at the guy Paul. Yeah, I wonder if he's the chosen one. Not, yeah, he's got these faults, but you know, maybe he's like got the link to God, you know. And by the time five or six of us had shared with us our thinking and sharing, who's now the chosen one amongst us? Suddenly, the energy lifted in the place. It went from negative to positive.
Uh-huh.
And certain people are still seeking for some sort of religion.
They were looking at each other differently.
And they said, you can't believe this place. The energy is so amazing. These guys are all loving each other. They all think they're amazing.
Looking
blah, blah, blah.
At each other differently.
The word spread. And suddenly people came back. And it increased again. So let's go out and think, you know, when you look at someone and say, you're the chosen one.
They could be the
I'm
chosen one.
I'm the chosen one.
They could
I hope
be
you're the chosen
next.
One.
You don't know the next. You know, I've been knocked onto that lesson again over the last couple of weeks ago, three times in a row, and I shared it with my listeners. I share everything with them, well, most things. That's not too private. Because we all tend to judge. And it had happened to me three times in a matter of like 8 days, where I, without thinking, was judging someone and then started talking to that person. And then you'd like, oh, don't, you did it again. Don't do that. But it's so ingrained in us, as much as we try. And I, Drew, you know me by now a little bit. I really make an effort to live with integrity.
Yes.
But we all slip up all the time. Yeah. But the universe has got a way to clap you back into reality and like send you little tests, call it tests or whatever, and then it just knocks you back and reminds you. And it's all about judging and seeing people in a good light and giving the people benefit of the doubt. And it is difficult initially to do all these things to remind yourself. It is, but as you... You condition yourself, and it's like learning. We can pick up a bad habit like that. Picking up a good habit is not that different. Mm-hmm. It's just mindset. But anyway, talking about unity, we're talking now on a global scale in a big way, and we've got to start breaking it down a little bit for people at home. And my thing is always people, we think, oh, it's just me. I can't make a difference. But the difference starts with us, the global difference we want. You've got to bring it home. Bring it to yourself. Start with yourself. And I'm always on about people. We've got to meet your neighbors. We live so separately. That's another thing about where we're not unity. It's just separation. Because most people out here do not know. Do you know your people next door to you and across the road?
Well,
How many people do?
We do. And it was forced upon us through a negative event, which we had about 5 home invasions in our street of
Take something like that for people to connect.
In the middle of COVID. Yeah. And suddenly we all got together and we were all chatting and we got to know each other. And I sat back and thought, why did it take
that long? Because if everyone was chatting and communicating, that probably wouldn't have happened.
Yeah.
Because the community would have been a close-knit community that's looking out for each other.
Yeah.
But we all live behind our walls. So we've got to start changing all of that. And living behind walls and all of that, you know, we live in Africa, but it's also we've got to stop all of that because we're creating it by thinking all of that.
Yeah.
Because we've been conditioned.
Yeah.
We've got to change our thinking. Stop thinking that we've got to lock everything because we are creating that and we're living in fear then.
Yeah.
Because that's a fear mentality and that's not where we want to be. With unity, it's about love, not fear.
And separation is fear. Now,
it is fear-based.
Go back to Krishnamurti's thing. And I want to tell you a story where you talk about neighborly. You know, going to the world now. So you want one thing to do. The world, the universe is waiting for you to perform some action, some deed, kind deed with your words or your actions. And then the law of exponentiality works to place. And the law of exponentiality is very simple. It's a mathematical. It's 1, 2, 4, 8, 16, 32. And it goes out. So you just have to do it once and then continue to do that. So about 3 weeks ago, there's a lovely recycling, a couple of these bins in Glenken near the mall, Harbour Bay Mall. And I, on a Saturday morning, and I always go and drop our recycling off there. And it was pouring with rain. So by the time I got there, I couldn't get out the car. I had to at least wait for the squall to end. And in the rearview mirror, I see this guy climb into the bin. Just happened to be the plastic section of the bin. I remember that it wasn't paper. He chose plastic. He avoided the tin bin. Anyway, so I go there, and I've done my thing. I think, now, how do I deal with this? There's a guy sitting in the bin to start the rain. And And he'd gone through the door, and he's sitting in there. That little igloo actually makes quite a good rain shelter.
Yeah, I think it's quite clever.
So I walk up, and as I'm putting stuff in, he goes, "Ah, let me help you." So, you know, now I'm standing talking to a bin, if you're looking from the outside. Yeah. And I'm having this long chat. "What's your name?" "His name's Andy." We're chatting, and bum, bum, bum. I said, "What?" And so I'm giving the stuff he's now putting into the bin in which he's sitting. And I said, "You look a bit cold. Can I get you a nice, you know, a hot coffee and a nice bun?" And he said, "Hey, he'd love that." So I go out. I also buy two other car guards because it's just pelting with rain. And I come back, and we start having a chat about life. Hmm. So I've now met Andy inside while he was sitting inside the bin.
I can picture this. It's a lovely picture, I must say.
And anybody driving past will think, what is this white guy with high white hair leaning over and talking to a bin for? But anyway, they're probably going to lock me away. But that engagement at that point, we're all equal. Uh-huh. We're all unified. The two of us are on the same day. So Ronald and Andy met in the rain and exchanged coffee and buns on a very cold, wintry Cape Town morning. And it was such a magical experience.
Yeah.
You know? And Andy's me, and I'm Andy. He's got a life, I've got a life.
Yeah, once you start chatting,
just expressing
random,
and processing it differently. It was the most delightful interaction. I just haven't seen Andy since, so I hope he's okay. But
that's the thing, but you don't have to see people again.
It's magical. You know?
People come in for seconds into your life. Yeah. I've got people that I think about still that I've spent an evening with 30-odd decades ago. Yeah. And I've never stayed in contact with them, but they've always stayed with me because they've had an impact on my psyche, on my on a bigger scale.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be a long thing. People stay with you. I've got friends that I haven't seen for decades, yeah. And I adore them. I love them. They're some of my favorite people.
Yes.
Doesn't mean you have to phone each other all the time, see each other. We're all connected.
Absolutely.
We're all connected all the time.
Yeah.
We are not. We think of ourselves as separate, and that's where the unity, this talk that we're talking. We're actually a hive mentality.
We are.
We're like ants and bees, yeah. And we've got to start realizing that. And the quicker we do, the quicker we're going to start evolving. And into the next realm where we can start communicating, yeah, on a different level, which is telepathy is the next stage. People are starting to do it all over the planet already. If you're just aware of it now, and people are going to think, oh, he's talking total nonsense now. But it's not.
Nope.
Look at your little kids. They can anticipate needs and questions and answer before. Already you, if you're just aware of it, when you think about someone, the phone will ring. You anticipate each other's calls before you do it. These telephones that we carry with us is a form, it's taking us, it's part of the evolution of our communication.
Yes.
It can be used for good or bad, but it's taking us into the step of communicating on a global scale with each other onto the next level. It's a step in that direction. We just got to wrap our minds around it. It's a big issue, and it doesn't mark like for biomancy. It's a difficult one.
But you got to step over that fear divide, you know, that fear line. Yeah. And another lovely story across the mall here, some time ago, I was walking, having done my shopping, and a little 2-3-year-old kid caught my eye. We both did. So I stopped, yeah, and I leant down to chat to him. He's with his grandparents. The first thing I wanted to do was take him out of my space. Okay? That's their fear.
Yeah.
No, he wasn't having any of it. We were gonna have a conversation. The 60-year-old man and a 2-year-old boy, 3 maybe. And we chatted about this and that and sport and what, and hey, high fived each other goodbye, blah, blah, blah. And then we left. We parted company. In the pick and pay aisles. "Hey, there you are. You again. We meet again," he says to me. You know, and he's like, "Now we're having another rap." Nah, at least the grandparents are less, you know. And we chatted. And as we walked away, he's like, "I'm the count," and he's still rapping to me. And everybody around us is like just engrossed with our conversation. How can the two of us communicate? But we're two souls communicating. And he says, "You know what?" He says to me, "Ronald, you just make me feel young again." I mean, this is coming from a 3-year-old boy.
Oh, sweet. But he's an old soul, obviously.
Everybody fell apart laughing. But you've got to open yourself to these conversations.
Yep.
You've got to realize we're all one. Whether I'm 60 and he's 2 and I meet a 19-year-old woman or a 55-year-old man, we all, and a 100-year-old
man. The 3-year-olds that's coming in now is older and wiser than
we. Oh, they are. That's why. Come back to education. Ask them what we need to be.
They're going to teach us.
To solve our problems now, yeah.
Well, we run out of time.
Wow, so quickly.
I would like to end off, so quick, by saying that, if we, the unity thing, and to open ourselves to that is to be like those 3 years. We need to be like children again. Yeah. and enjoy our lives like that, anticipation like you have as a six-year-old. I'm always on about that. Be 6 years. Stay. I want to stay six forever. Yeah. So yeah. If people want to get a hold of you.
It's 083-327-5553. I run an organization called Dream Exchange, which is really all about unity and magic and creating magic with it forward.
And you're hitting millions now.
People's economy. And we want everybody to be involved because a lovely video went out today. A lady was an ironer. And she started ironing as a side hustle and a gig or a main hustle, and she started out without an ironing board. Bless her! What inspiration! And now she's flying.
Fantastic.
You know, so we talk to each other, we connect each other. Unity consciousness is probably the primary thing we need on this planet now, and drop all other bullshit and royals and regulations and boundaries and disunity and everything else. And then the magic happens.
And it is happening already. Not it will. It is happening. Ronald, thank you so much for coming in. Looking forward to our next chat. We're going to have to make it a double length.
Absolute pleasure.
Great. Enjoy the rest of your day.
And you too. Thanks so much.